I will read the text for today, which is from Exodus 24, verses 12 to 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders, he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Pastor Randy, come. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet, for reading the word of the Lord for us this morning. And good morning. It's wonderful to be here and to see everyone here. You are here, and God is with us. Let's just take a moment to center ourselves in the present, to be aware that sometimes just showing up is an achievement. And let's not take that for granted this morning. Let's pray. God, thank you for this opportunity to dig into your word, the living word of God. Thank you that you are alive and that your word is actively piercing into us, growing us, shaping us into your likeness. So we just pray for your spirit to guide us this morning and to continue to shape us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as was shared by Janet, we are ending Epiphany season. Haven't talked a whole lot about Epiphany this year. In past years, we focused on a little bit more. Epiphany began beginning of January. Of course, the Epiphany story that most of us think about is the three magi meeting Jesus. And now today, February 23rd, 2020, we've come to the last Sunday of Epiphany, which is also called Transfiguration Sunday. And Transfiguration Sunday in the Christian calendar always is the text that transitions us from the end of Epiphany into the season of Lent. And so, this coming Wednesday and Ash Wednesday, we're going to begin our season of Lent. 40 days, which then leads us into Holy Week, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. So that's the Christian calendar in a nutshell for anybody that was interested for the next couple months. Epiphany began with the proclamation of Christ to the nations, as I shared about the Magi from the East. And it ends today with an even more dramatic presentation of God's glory on a mountain. All of the lectionary texts this morning feature a mountain topped with the glory of the Lord. The story that was just read for us is the story of God's presence coming down on Mount Sinai and Moses meeting the holy presence of God. And I'm also going to invite us to consider the Transfiguration story in Matthew, where Peter and James witness the transfiguration of Jesus. So we're going to look, that takes place on a mountain as well. So we're going to look at that story a little bit today as well. And then I also want us to consider how God is still coming down to us today. So the first place we're going to look at is how God came down to Moses in the Old Testament story, how God came down to Jesus on the mountain, but then also how Jesus came down the mountain, and then how God comes down to us today. Emmanuel is the word that means God with us. It's the heart of the New Testament theology of the incarnation. God with us, present with us. God came down in Jesus to be with us. But here's the question that is interesting to think about. Was that a new idea for faithful early Christians and Jews in the time of Jesus? That God would be present with them? That's a fascinating question to think about. And this morning I would invite us to consider that no, it wasn't a new thought that God would be present with them. And one of the reasons is because the Old Testament is filled with so many beautiful stories of God's presence with God's people. Matthew, when he talks about the incarnation, was not just making that up, that this would be a new idea that God would come to be with his people in the incarnation. But it's stories like the Exodus this morning that help us to understand and demonstrate that God has always, from the very beginning, desired to be with, even the very story in Genesis, in the creation. God is a God of relationship that is continually coming down to be with. And so we can't begin to fully grasp the power of Jesus' incarnation without understanding the full story of the Old Testament of God being present. So let us enter into the Exodus story with that in mind. God is coming on top of a mountain. And we read on the mountain that Moses will receive tablets of stone on which God has written his covenant law. And so Moses makes his way up to this Mount Sinai. Have you ever trekked up a mountain with a backpack and 40 pounds on it? Honest question. I'm seeing hands. Okay. I have. It's a trek to go up a mountain, and it's all about how fast the elevation rises depending on and the amount of distance that you have to go up. But I just wonder what that was like for Moses. Do you think he took up a bunch of stuff with him? Think he had a backpack full of some food maybe for the 40 days plus that he was up there? But I'm just imagining Moses and just thinking about, man, what in the world is going to happen up on this mountain? And am I prepared to meet the living God? It reminds me of trekking up the 1,000 steps at retreat. There'd usually be always every year a good group of us that would trek up, and we trek up with anticipation. Can't wait to get to the top. We know it's places to explore up there, and we won't have to keep walking, and we'll get a picture up there, and it's just fun to get to the top. And maybe Moses was anticipating as he trekked up the mountain. But how could he have ever imagined what it would be like to meet the glory of God's presence? We read in this story that Moses went up, but more maybe dramatically and centrally that God came down on that mountain. We read, when Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. We read in the Exodus story in verse 17 that God's holy presence was like a consuming fire. Now, when I read about God's glory appearing like a consuming fire, I think about all of the images of fire in the news in the past year. You can think about the images of the California fires, ablaze, consuming hundreds and thousands of acres of forest. Or maybe your mind goes to the fires in Australia. Fire in Scripture is used often as a symbol of holiness and often equates the idea of God's presence. Fire is used to consume the burnt offerings that were given to God. Fire was to be continually burning upon the altar as a visible sign of the continuous worship of God. And here we are told that God's presence is like a fire. Blazing, making new. The thing about fire is that paradoxically, while it destroys, it also creates the opportunity for something new to come. Fire is a powerful understanding of the presence and glory of God. The fire of God's glory comes down. Now, let's move to our other story in the lectionary this morning of God coming down. Jesus in the Transfiguration Sunday story. I'm just going to read a little bit from Matthew 17, 1-9. If you have your Bibles, you can look as well. We read that after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. So again, they're trekking up a mountain. We don't know what all they brought with them, but they're trekking up a mountain. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. For the early church, when they were hearing about this story from Peter and James and Jesus, they would have made that connection. Something powerful is going on here. Because this connects with what happened in the Exodus story. Moses' appearance in the Transfiguration, along with Elijah, one of the, probably next to Moses, the most powerful Old Testament character that connects us with God. It's a final proof for these Jews who are wondering, who is this Jesus? Is he really the Son of God? When they know that Moses and Elijah are up there, they're going back 1,000 years plus, and they're remembering the stories. And it's helping to confirm for them that yes, what is going on here, this Jesus is indeed the Son of God. As John 1:17 puts it, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So we have this story of Jesus and Peter and James together on the top of the mountain, and God comes down and meets Jesus and says, My beloved, and tells Peter and James, listen to him, which scholars in Matthew believe that is directly connecting to the Sermon on the Mount. And to say, listen to him and what he has taught in the Sermon on the Mount. In this story, we see glory and power, smoke and lights, dazzling. The Transfiguration story just is like this wow experience. And what does Peter says? He says, yeah, I like that. I want that. You know what? Let's just stay in that. I don't want to leave. Let's just mark this place and let's just stay in this experience of worship and power and lights and glory. And it's one of the reasons I think that a lot of the church today is moving into those worship kinds of experiences. So now today I just want to think really quickly about what this might look like today. Just as Peter says, I don't want to go back down the mountain. I wonder if some in church say the same thing. I'm not trying to discourage us from staying in worship and the presence of God. In fact, I'm trying to do the exact opposite of that. But I'm trying to explore this connection from Peter wanting to just stay up there, and a lot of the church that seems to want to stay in the experience of a very powerful glitz and glamour of church. Religion is increasingly being moved into, unfortunately, entertainment. But there's a danger, because it's quickly taking on the narrative of something we can consume in our American narrative, and not the heart of Christian discipleship, of following Jesus. How can the light of Christ compete with the smoke and lights used to fill up an arena? How can the Holy Spirit speak through a medium that overwhelms us? These are the kinds of questions a pastor of a small church asks in a world of increasingly huge, huge churches. How does the small little Mennonite church compete with that? We can't. We simply can't offer the same kinds of programs and massive worship experience with a full band and the lights and the smoke. And that's hard sometimes, because we constantly feel that pressure to have more, because that's the consumer America that we live in, and that's what a lot of the churches are moving towards. And so we feel that hard push sometimes. And I think here there's something to be said for the fact that Jesus says, this was really powerful, but we're going to go back down the mountain. The heart of church is discipleship. It's following me in the kingdom of God. It's not a consumer entertainment church, friends, but it's following Jesus the Christ back down the mountain. On this mountain, we sometimes, like Peter, just want to stay, but Jesus says, come down with me. Which brings us to the final way that God comes back down. God comes down right here with us today. I love the Lord's Prayer that the children just prayed for us this morning in Scripture. Beautiful that the children could memorize that Scripture. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. That is a picture of God coming down on earth as it is in heaven. In our prayer time, as Dallas Willard defines prayer, it's an invitation to take whatever is going on in our lives, whether it's a joy, a struggle, whatever it may be, and it simply says, God, come into it. Be present in this current thing I'm walking with. Let your kingdom come into this. I don't know where all it's going to go, but I'm inviting you to come in, to come down into this, and to help me see this through how you are working and moving and dwelling. Come down into my life. How does God come down to us? Well, God comes down through Scripture, through the living Word, through Jesus the Christ. Today marks the 565th year since the first Bible was printed in the Gutenberg Press. And I have to be honest with you, I go through seasons of life when the living Word feels more real or a little bit more distant. But this is a significant way of how the living God comes down to us and we meet Him, through dwelling in the living Scriptures and Word. God comes down. And in this Word, we get to see a God that we can know, a God of relationship, a God that just can sit with us in the sorrow. I love the Psalms for the way they invite us just to sit with God in the sorrow. We need God to come down more than ever, friends. The one story in the past couple weeks that has grabbed me, maybe the hardest of all the hard news, was what happened on February 19th, 2020. When alleged gunman Tobias Rothschild opened fire at two hookah lounges in the town of Hanau in Germany, killing at least 9 and wounding at least 5. But here's what really just is the pain of this story, besides it just as a gun attack. He began his attack at the Midnight Hookah Lounge and then drove to the Arena Bar and Cafe. And 5 of the victims in the hookah lounges were Turkish citizens. They found a confession letter and an online manifesto calling for a global ethnic cleansing of Muslims and Jews. We simply don't have words for a violent act like this. In a country that less than 100 years ago was gripped with the Nazi movement, and now knowing that the far-right extremism is on the rise again, both in Germany and we know in the United States as well. This extremism of hate, racism, and violence is gripping us right now. And we wonder, God, where is history moving towards? God, come down and bring your kingdom into our broken world. And here's where I see the image of fire so powerful in that Exodus story. Fire cleanses, it purifies, it burns away. And right now the church has to stand together to say, may God's fire burn away hate, racism, anti-Semitism, and extreme nationalism. May God's cleansing fire burn it. Burn it to hell and back, because it's not the kingdom. And may it be filled with something new. May it be filled with the peace of God's kingdom, like we saw up here, where swords are beaten into plowshares, where we can have more beautiful gardens. May that be the new thing that God is doing. May God's presence come down. I love Psalm 121. In our times when we just don't know where to go, God comes down, and the Psalms remind us of it. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. When the world doesn't make sense, we go back to these stories. We go back to the Exodus. We go back to the Transfiguration. We go back to the Psalms to remind us that God is coming down, friends. That's our hope. That the Lord, the creator of all things, watches over us. That the sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. That the Lord will watch over your coming and your going both now and forevermore. This is the God that came down to Moses, to Jesus, and is coming down to us this morning. So in conclusion, how does Jesus respond to Peter and James on the Transfiguration Mount? He says, get up and do not be afraid. Get up and do not be afraid and go back down the mountain. Follow me because you have been forgiven, because I am with you, because the grave will not overcome, because you are walking in the resurrection. Get up and do not be afraid. Get up, take up your cross and walk in the new creation. And so let's get up and walk back down that mountain, following Jesus this week, knowing that the fire of God's glory is ablaze in our hearts and goes with us. God is coming down to meet us. Let's pray. God, living God, thank you that you have come down in Jesus Christ, that you have come into our hearts, and that you are doing something new in each of us. Thank you that your holy fire is coming down and cleansing and making new. We pray that we would be aware of your presence coming down and we would join you May your fire be ablaze in each of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.